Okay, all right. We're on Daf Chaf Vav today, Psachim 26. Okay, so yesterday we got into the topic yesterday of Hana Ba'alil Damba Al Korcho, benefit that comes to a person even against his will. In other words, he's inhaling something or listening to music or things like that, and we had different variables whether he wants to hear it or smell it or not. So we had a machlok between Abai and Rava. Abai was more meikil. He says it's permissible, and Rava says it's not permissible. So in the second lashon of the Gemara, which is what today's daf is going to focus on mostly, is the machloket was the lo efshar. That, in other words, let's say you're smelling the incense from Avodah Zarah. So path A, where the Avodah Zarah is, let's say, a mile. And path B, where it's not, is 10 miles. So it's not feasible to take the 10-mile route. But he says, hey, lo efshar become a chavein. But you have kavana that you want to inhale it and fragrance it. So in that case, Rava says it's prohibited, and Abai says it's permissible. That's the second lashon. So in other words, the other way is not feasible, but you have kavana to inhale it. All right, let's take a look at the Gemara. So on the third line, so Amar Abaye Minaminala, that's on Chaf of Manav, 26a, the third line. So Amar Abaye Minaminala, where do I know that you could inhale that? If the other way is not feasible, then you have a green light to inhale it. He says, Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Amru Alav Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, they said concerning Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the head of the Sanhedrin, and he lived at the time of the Korban Abayit, at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, Shayoshe b'tzilo shel heichal, v'dorish kulayom kulo. He would sit in the shadow of the heichal. The heichal is the covered structure of the Beis HaMikdash, which was 100 amot high, so there's quite a shadow you would get there, on the Har Abayit, and he would give shiurim to the masses of the people, and he would give the shiurim before yantiv. So he says, "Vahachad lo efshar." Here, it's not feasible to do anywhere else because he had such a mass of people, and this was the only near place that could service all these people. He says, "Umechavein v'shari," and he would have kavana to get benefit from the shade of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara takes it benefiting from the shade of the structure. The Gemara thinks is mi'ila, wrongful benefit from kudshim. That's what the Gemara takes it. That if I'm benefiting from the shade of the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara thinks that's a taste of mi'ila. So that would be a proof to corroborate a bias position where it's low efshar. The other alternative is low efshar, but you have kavana to it, so you have a green light, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had the green light. V'Rava Amar, Rava who disagrees with that, he says, no, it's not. You don't have a green light. V'Rava Amar, Shani Heichal Dletocho Asui. The Heichal is different. The Beis HaMikdash is different because the Beis HaMikdash is built to benefit the people who are inside the Beis HaMikdash. So Rashi takes it, the Rashi is like the 10th narrow line, V'ein Hanatzilo Ne'esroa De'ein Zedera Hanato. Rashi says, the Hana from the shade is not the Derech Hana. In other words, that's an atypical benefit of Hana. In other words, the structure is made to help the people inside the structure, but to benefit from the shade, that's not the typical Hana to get from it. Now, the only thing that's difficult with that pshat is, remember, we discussed that if it's Hana, that's not Derech Hana. If you're getting Hana, not the normal Derech Hana, remember we said it might be us on a Deraisa level, it might be us on a Durabanan level, it might be totally Mutar. So if it's totally Mutar, then this is fine. But if it's Durabanan that's prohibited, so you'd have to come onto the Svara that because it's like Sarche Rabim to teach Torah, that it was more permissible. But that's the way that goes. All right, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did last three lines? Everybody good? Okay, I'm moving on. All right, let's see further. Now, on the 10th line, I'm a Rava Mina Aminala. Now, again, the same case, Rava holds you're prohibited. So if it's the other alternative is low efshar, it's not feasible to do the other alternative, but you intend to benefit from it, Rava says that's totally prohibited. So I'm a Rava Mina Aminala. Rava says, where do I know my position or where can I corroborate my position? And this should be Ditnan, because we learn in the Mishnah. This Mishnah is a Masechet Midot, which is when you get to Midot, you know you're at the end of the Daf Yomi cycle. Anyway, it's closer from the other end. In other words, it's just like a year and a half ago. All right. Anyway, so he says Ditnan, Lula na yiptuchim baliyat be kachek kadashim.
They had a hat. Isn't this from Midos, not Nida?
No, Midot. I said Midot.
Did we do Midot?
We do Midot.
We do Midot.
Yes, it's a small one.
Yeah, we do. It's just Mishnah, but we do Mido with Daf Yomi. I thought I said Mido, but either way, okay.
You did.
Okay. So let's take a look back on the Gemara. So he says, Lulan Yiptuchim Baliyat Beit Kodesh Kadashim. They had hatches above, like the ceiling of the Kodesh Kadashim in the base of Mikdash. So he says, Shebahen Mishalshlin and Umanim Betevot. They would lower craftsmen, builders in these crates. In other words, they have to work on the wall, whatever they got to do. Michael remembers this, yeah. So they lower them in like the crate. He says, Kadesh lo yizonu enehem mi beit kodesh kadashim. So they don't like illicitly get benefit like from gazing at the Kodesh Kadashim. In other words, if they gaze at the Kodesh Kadashim and admire the beauty, whatever it is, so that would be an illicit benefit from Hekdesh. That's what we think. So he says, Vahachad lo efshar. Now, let's say lu yetsur, they would not put them down in crates. They would take them down like in some other fashion. I don't know, a ladder or something like that where they could see it. Hakalo efshar, there's no other alternative because they have to enter and do the repairs, become a chavein va'asur. But nevertheless, the implication of the Mishnah is if they have kavana to benefit it from it, it would be prohibited. So again, that's what Rav is trying to point, that in other words, the other alternative is not feasible, or in this case, impossible, because they have to enter the Kodesh Kadashim. Nevertheless, it's clear from the Mishnah that if they would have kavana to benefit from it, that would be prohibited, which is what Rav said. So the Gemara says, v'tisbara. So does that make sense, what we just said? Do we think that it's, he says, 1 minute, Batisbara, Va'amar b'shimin pazi, amar b'shimin levi, mishum bar kapara, kolumar v'reach, ein behem mishum ila. In other words, did you think that looking, gazing at the scene of the Kodesh Kadashim is a form of me'ila? We have a statement from bar kapara that kol is listening to the sound of the musical instruments from the Levium playing the base of Mikdash. Umare, like seeing any images in the base of Mikdash. V'reach, like the aroma of you know, the Ketoret or whatever, ain behem mishum me'ila. None of them have me'ila involved with it. Ella, so ma'ala asu b'veik kachi kadashim. So the answer is that this does not involve me'ila at all. In other words, nothing was asur, really technically al pi halacha, but it's just a stringency that they adopted in the base of Mikdash that they didn't want the craftsmen to see the beit kachi kadashim. But lu yatzur, they would see it, they wouldn't be committing me'ila. So there's no raya for Rava from there. There's no raya from Rava from there. All right. Any questions? What's up for?
I forgot. In cases of Me'ila, does there have to be a loss to something or to the Beit HaMikdash or to someone else?
Well,
in other words, the shade.
Yeah. Wait 20 lines, because this is really what the sugya is about. What is it? Typically, you're taking an object and benefiting from an object.
Right.
Touch. And that's, but here, what you're touching on, which I think our sugya, is you're going to have things that don't have mamashas to it. They don't have substance to them. So let's just wait another 20 lines. Okay. All right. Now, Ika de Amri. Now, there's a different lashon in the Gemara. Ika de Amri. Others say, Amar Rava men aminala. So this is a different proof, but it's based on the same brisa. Rava says, so Rava is trying to prove that if the other route is low efshar, in other words, it's not feasible to take this other alternative, or there is no other alternative, then Rava holds that if you intend to derive benefit from something which is illicit, you know, it's like you shouldn't be benefiting from see suri hana'a, so then you transgress. So Minaminala, where do I know that from? The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Amr Shimon Pazi, Amr Shimon Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, Kolomar Vareach, that when it comes to listening to the sounds of the musical instruments in the base of Mikdash, Umare, looking at different objects in the base of Mikdash. So it would be the Mara, he says appearance, but that means like seeing the vision in the Kodesh Kadashim. He says v'reach, inhaling the fragrance of the Ketoret, ein behem mishum me'ila. There's no me'ila. You know, if I do any of those things, I'm not chayav for me'ila. So if I would be chayav for me'ila, like Fern is saying, so then you have to make compensation, and there's also a korban in asham me'ila you have to bring. So, but the Gemara says here, here Rava says me'ila hu deleka. Yeah, there's no me'ila. There's no, you didn't technically violate the din of me'ila, like this is what I think you were touching on, Fern. In other words, there isn't the technical violation of me'ila, ha'isura ika, but there is an isur involved if you do benefit from these non-tangible objects. He says, my love, lo'otan ha'omdim bifnim, delo efshar, become a chavin ba'asur. So the Gemara thinks, for the people who are inside the Beis HaMikdash, it sounds sort of strange. In other words, let's say you might could be a Levi or whoever is in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, and you hear the musical instruments. Delo efshar, there's no other way out of it. Like if you're a Levi, so you're playing the instruments, so there's no other route to do that. Become a chavin, but your intention is to listen to the music. He says va'asur. So if this is true, in other words, he's putting together a scenario where the other alternative is not feasible or is impossible, and then you have kavana to derive benefit from something which is, you know, normally prohibited, so that's asur. So it's asur. He says, lo, so the Gemara says, no, lo tana omdim b'chutz. No, I could say, you're right, there is an Easter involved, but the Easter is for the people who are outside the Beis HaMikdash. People who are outside the Beis HaMikdash, they have a choice. They don't have to be there. They could be there and not be there. So then that would be the way that would go. All right, so the point is that whatever the proof is for Rava, we've deflected the proof, all right? Now, the Gemara is going to continue analyzing the topic with the Paul Mara and Reach, so that's why I said to hold off for a little bit. Okay, Michael, you want to say something?
Yeah. How do you avoid, okay, you're in the Azara.
All right.
How do you avoid inhaling the Ketoret smell?
All right, it's going to come up as well. Okay, just wait another 20 lines of the Gemara, okay?
Or the music, with the Levim singing over there the whole time, no?
Right, so they're singing, but the Gemara is taking it that the clay shear are things that belong to Hekdesh. And so the Gemara thought that, like, let's just wait a few more lines to the end of the sugya, okay? Let's just wait another 20 lines, and then we'll try to address everybody, okay? So now the Gemara says, then we're digressing, so we're moving away from Bai Varava, and we're going to focus on this Kol Mara Vareach. So kol means listening to the sound of the musical instruments. Mara would be like seeing like the scene in the Kodesh Kodashim. And reach, and it means to enjoy it, to take it in. And reach, inhaling the fragrance of the Ketoret as it's being burned. So all those things, we said, is not a din me'ila, but the Gemara just deduced that there's an Easter involved. So gufa amr shum pasi amr shum levi mishum bar kapara, kol mar v'reach ein behem mishum me'ila. V'reach, so there's no din me'ila of those. By reach, there's no din of me'ila if I inhale the fragrance of the incense. But Tani, we learn in the Brisa, hamafatim et ketoret, a person compounds ketoret. In other words, I take all the constituent elements, you know, to make ketoret, and I produce my own sort of ketoret mixture. Hamafatim et ketoret lehit lamidba, but I'm doing it because I want to learn how to make ketoret. So I'm having like a, in my kitchen, you know, I have my own ketoret laboratory. He says, oh, lamos for the tzibur, or I want to make ketoret, then I'll give it to the Beis HaMikdash, and I say, I did it all pi halacha, now you could use it for the ketoret. He says, patur. So then I'm not chayev for me'ila in that case. He says, I'm not chayev for karet. I'm not chayev for karet. The Gemara says, if you illicitly make the ketoret, you're chayev karet. I'm not chayev for karet. Lahariach bo chayav. But if I produced it because I wanted to smell it, then I would be chayev for mefatim, even if I didn't smell it. But there's just an avera from compounding ketoret. In other words, so if I compound a ketoret and my purpose was to inhale it, whether I inhaled it or not, I'm chayev karet. He says, no, but here's the key. V'hameriach ba patur. But the one who, this is still part of the Brisa, the one who actually inhales the actual ketoret, he's patur. He's not chay from me'ila, ela shema'al. But he did do an act of me'ila. He did do an act of me'ila. I didn't say right. He's patur from karet. He's patur from karet, but he did an act of me'ila. He's patur from karet, but he did an act of me'ila. Okay, so the question is like this. Here we had a statement from Bar Kapara that Reach doesn't have me'ila. And now we're saying that Reach does have me'ila. That's the basic idea. So does Reach, the smelling and the fragrance of the Ketoret, is that a din of me'ila or not a din of me'ila? That's basically it. So the first statement from Bar Kapara, it is a din of me'ila, and it is no din of me'ila.
No me'ila.
No me'ila. The second statement, it is. So Elamar Rapapa, so rather Rapapa revises our understanding of Bar Kapara's original statement. Elamar Rapapa, Kolumara, Ein Behem Mishumila. The first two are correct. like listening to the sound of the musical instruments, seeing like the Kodesh Kadashim or anything like that, that's not a din of Me'ila. Lefisha ain't by him mamash, because there's no mamashes to it. In other words, it's like a sound, like you, like a little bit that you were touching on, Fern. In other words, I can't be high from Me'ila if it has no mamashes to it. In other words, there's nothing, no substance to it. It's just a sound or a sight. I'm not high from Me'ila for that. That's what the Gemara says. He says, the Reach, but as far, now this is your point, Michael, but the Reach of the Ketoret, he says, La'achar sh'talet timurato ein bo mishum Me'ila. After the column of smoke has gone up, so then there's no din of Me'ila if I inhale it in. He says, Ho'il v'naseit mitzvato. That's the mitzvah has been done. Okay, so the Gemara is saying that with the Ketoret, once the mitzvah has been done with the Ketoret, I have a green light to inhale it and I'm good with it. But before that, in Achinami, I could be over an Isur by intentionally inhaling in the incense of the Ketoret. All right, let me just pause for a second. What's up? Yeah.
Was it the job of a Kohen to make the Ketoret?
I think so, yeah.
So why would I be learning in my kitchen how to make Ketoret? Wouldn't I have to be assigned that job to play with it?
I don't know.
Wasn't there a family who did it?
Yeah, so the Gemara says, the Gemara says in Yoma, the Gemara
one
says,
Beit Avtinas,
there was a family, right. Beit Avtinas, and they were the ones who knew how to compound the Ketoret. And remember, the Gemara says it's around Lamed Gimel in Yoma. It's coming up in Daf Yomi in about a year. So the Gemara says that they tried to get these people from Alexandria to compound the Ketoret, and they did. It didn't go up right. It didn't like the smoke didn't go up in a column the way the Ketoret should go up. And so because Beit Avtinas, they had a monopoly on it, and that was the way. And then the Gemara says Beit Garmu knew the recipe for the lechem apanim.
So if I'm not Mrs. Avtinas,
Beit Avtinas,
why would would I come to be playing with these?
Well, no, let's say
competitor.
Well, the Torah, there's a prohibition in the Torah. The Torah says
that's why they have Pepsi instead of Coke.
Yeah. All right. So the Torah says if somebody compounds his own Ketoret and follows the recipe that's in the Chumash, they're Chayav Karet. That's what the Torah says. So the Brisa said, but if the reason that you were compounding it was you wanted to learn how it's done, you know, like, or maybe you're a Kohen or something like that, and you want to see how it's done, and so then you're not chayav for karet. And then the Gemara said that let's say I'm compounding it, and I know the whole recipe, and I'm compounding it, and I want to give it to the Beis Hamikdash, I'm also not chayav karet for
but
compounding.
But they're not going to take it from me because my last name is Avtinas.
Yeah. So I don't know if you really knew how to do it right, maybe they would take it from you. I don't know. It's just like this Beit Avtinas, they knew how to do it, but maybe earlier, I'm saying like theoretically, if you knew how to put it together, so then maybe they would, but you're right. It came out in the end that Beit Avtinas were the only people who actually knew how to do it. All right.
I have a question.
Yeah. What's up?
On the Shalosh Regalim, when hundreds of thousands of Jews near the Beit HaMikdash.
Right.
Did all of these rules still apply?
Absolutely.
But wouldn't all of these people be listening and smelling and whatever?
Yeah, I think again, this is the sugya that we're in. In other words, but the question is, do you intend to smell it? Do you intend to derive benefit from it or not? So remember,
well, if you're that close, you know you're going to smell it. So whether you intend it or not, it's obvious that you're going to smell it and hear it.
Yeah, but that goof is the thing. Hana ba'alu daba al korcho. So according to the second lashon that we're in right now, is keep where the machloket is. We says is the lo efshar. In other words, the other route would be impossible. And I have kavana. So you shouldn't have kavana to inhale it. You shouldn't have kavana to take in the ketoret. But we said that after it goes up in the column, then you could smell it. And again, the ketoret is only brought like at a certain time during the day. In other words, there could be like, you know, it might be like a 20-minute time when the Ketoret is offered. So if you're in show up in the Beis HaMikdash at 10 a.m., you're not going to smell Ketoret. It was already offered that morning. Do you know what I mean? In other words, they burn it on the Mizbeach, it goes up in smoke, and then that's it. It's finished, you know? So, but the question is, if I intend to benefit from it, that's the issue. All right. Let's see, look back in the Gemara.
What about the music? When can you listen to the music?
Yes. So the Gemara. It sounded like that if you're a Levi there, then you have an exemption. But you're okay. If you're outside the Azara, it sounds like again that you should not have intent. The key is with the intent here that you should not have intent to listen to the music or to benefit from the music. In other words, that's become a chaving. In other words, if I'm a chaving for my hana'a, then I run into problems. Okay? All right. Now the Gemara says, five lines above where it gets wide. Now the Gemara says, L'meimer z'cholheichad nasa misfato ein bo mishum ilo. So it sounds like from the previous line in the Gemara that once the mitzvah has been completed, there's no din of me'ila. Once the mitzvah has been done, me'ila means wrongful benefit from property of the Beis HaMikdash. But once the mitzvah has been done, there's no me'ila. Like we said with the Ketoret, once the Ketoret goes up, then the mitzvah is done, so now I can smell it. He says, Vahare Truman Adeshan, Dana Seit Mitzvato. Now, Truman Adeshan is the Kohen every morning would go up. It's the first thing done, right? Remember they had a race. Remember the Gemara says, Masechet Yoma, that they would race up the Mizbeach, and then there are two versions of the Gemara. Either one Kohen killed the other Kohen, or he knocked him over and he injured him. And then, anyway, so the Gemara says, so that then they went over to the pious. They began doing a lottery because the race wasn't working too well. Anyway, so the Truman Adeshan, the Kohen, early in the morning would take a shovel full of ashes from the Mizbeach and put it on the floor near the ramp. And then miraculously, it would be absorbed into the ground of the Beis HaMikdash. That's Truman Adeshan. It's also the name of a sefer, Truman Adeshan. He's called the Truman Adeshan. I think it's for Yisrael Israelin. So he calls it Truman Sedeshan. Deshan in Gematria is 354. He's got 354 kashas, tshuvas. So he calls it Truman Sedeshan. Anyway, it's back in the worm. So the mitzvah's been done already. So in other words, I go up, let's say I'm a Kohen. I take the ashes, I put it on the floor. So the mitzvah's done, showing. So we're finished. He says, V'yeshba mishu me'ila. Nevertheless, it is still subject to me'ila. Dechtiv, because the pasuk says, V'samoe tzlam mizbeach. He'll put it near the mizbeach, the ashes. And what do I learn from that? Shelo yifazer. Then we learn from that pasuk that he can't spread the ashes all over the place. He's got to put it in one spot near the mizbeach. V'samo shelo yehaneh. He says, and samo, that he shouldn't get any benefit from the ashes. So even though he did the mitzvah already, he's still an Easter benefiting from the ashes. So how's this working out? We said that once the mitzvah has been done, then there's no din in Me'ila, but this sounds like there is a din in Me'ila by Truma Sedeshan. So the Gemara says, you're right, there is a din in Me'ila by Truma Sedeshan. Because there are two sources in Torah where the Torah teaches me that there is an Isur that are benefiting after the mitzvah has been done. So if the Torah would teach me in one place, then I would learn from that one place everywhere else. But if the Torah teaches me in two places, then the implication is only those two places and nowhere else, right?
What possibly could be benefited from ashes?
Okay, just wait 2 minutes and I'll get to you, okay, Ruth? Okay, there could be benefit from ashes. Could be medicine, could be other things, but just 1 minute. Okay, just hold off. Okay, just hold off all questions till I pause, then you ask the questions, okay? So... that's the way Shnekum Ka'echad, and I was listening to a shiur today. I think Rabbi Simon Wolf, I think he was explaining that way, or else Rabbi Leibowitz. Anyway, so he says, now, so then I can't learn from it. So the Gemara says, Truma Sedeshan had the Amron. So Truma Sedeshan, that's the proof we just said. Big Day Kuhuna, sham. So the Big Day Kuhuna talks about then on Yom Kippur. So the Kohen Gadol had two sets of garments, like one 8 begadim, one 4 begadim. So the 4 begadim is like the Big Day Lavan. In other words, when he does the Avodas Pnim, he does the Avoda in the Kodesh, and the Kodesh Kadashim, so he only wears the Big Day Lavan, the white garments, in other words, the cotton and linen garments, okay? So after his Avoda is over, so he takes off the garments, finisham, he stores them away in a certain location. So this teaches us that it requires geniza. In other words, that he can't use them anymore. He's going to store it away, geniza. So Mimela, it's saying that even though he did the mitzvah with those garments, there would be a din of me'ila if he would use them again. So even though he finished with the mitzvah, there is still a din. So those are the two places where there's a din of me'ila, even though the mitzvah has been done. So therefore, only those two places, no other places. So the Gemara says, Hanikla Rabbanan D'Amri Mulamishtun Geniza. That works well according to the Chamim, who say that the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol is Town Geniza, that he's got to store it away. Ela Rabbi Dosa De Paligalayu. According to Rabbi Dosa, it's Mechulak with the Chachamim, and the Bach has Va'amar of our Uyinahin the Kohen Hedyot. So he learns, Vini Chamsham, that the Kohen Gadol can't reuse those garments. But according to Rabbi Dosa, a Kohen Hedyot could use those garments because those four begadim are what every Kohen Hedyot wears during the year. So a Kohen Hedyot could wear those garments. So he's teaching me. So it's not teaching you can't get benefit from it. The Kohen Gadol can't use it again. The Kohen Hedyot could use it. So Umay Bihini Chamsham. What does it mean, Bihini Chamsham? He'll leave it there. He says, Shlo Yishtamish Behem B'Yom Kippur Mecher. He can't use it on another Yom Kippur. So my Ikla Meimar. So then we're running into problems. Now we have just Trumas Hadeshen, only one source where you used to have a Dinam Ilo, even till the mitzvah is done. So now I'm going to be in Gahak Tzuris. So the Gemara says, Mishum Dehav Trumas Hadeshen Be'egla Rufa Shtei Tuvim Ve'echad. So within Rabbi Dosa, we'll have to say there's a different two sources, i.e. Trumas Hadeshen we're going to keep, and then there's Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa is where you have the dead body between two cities. You don't know who killed them. You measure to the nearest city, and then you take this calf, right, and then the calf has then been worked, and you decapitate the calf. So you're not allowed to get any hana from that calf. He says, V'arfu sham et Egla Menachal. They'll decapitate the calf there, so you can't get benefit from it. Okay, so fine. So now we have two sources. That after the mitzvah is done, I have a din of me'ila, but it's only those two, i.e., Trumas Hadeshen and Egla Rufa. Okay, but then other places, once the mitzvah is done, I'm off from it. So the Gemara says, Aniklaman Damar Ein Malamdin. So according to the opinion that says, I can't learn when I have two sources, everything's good. Elaman Damar Malamdin Ma'iklamemar. But according to the opinion that says, I could learn from it, and Rashi brings down the fourth white line, that's Rabbi Yehuda Masechet Sanhedrin. He says, I could learn, even though it's in two places. Ma'iklamemar. So within him, we'll have to say, Tri Me'utei Ketuvei. There are two Me'utim, two limitations in the Pasuk itself that teach me that these dinim are limited to those situations. Ketivis Samo, he will put it near the Mizbeach. Visamo, meaning this din that he puts it near the Mizbeach and you can't get hana from it, is limited to Trumas Hadeshen. He says, Uchtiv ha'arufa, ha'arufa, the arufa, the extra hay that teaches me that this din only applies to Egla Rufa. All right, so let's just summarize again what we did. So the basic idea we're saying is, like, we sort of digressed a little bit. We were focusing on a Bai Varava, and then we waterfall on a digression. The basic idea we hooked into is whether you have Me'ile after a mitzvah has been done. And the Gemara is saying that you don't have a din of Me'ila when a mitzvah has been done. But then the Gemara says, yeah, but by Trumas Hadeshen you do. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's exceptional. So why can't I learn from the exceptional case everywhere else? Because there are two exceptional cases, and then I can't learn from it. The two exceptional cases are either Trumas Hadeshen and the Big Day Kuhun on Yom Kippur, or according to Reb Dosa, you could benefit from the garments of the Kohen Gadol. So the two sources then will be Egla Rufa, that even after the mitzvah Egla Rufa has been done, I can't benefit from it. And according, so it's in two places I can't learn from it. And according to the opinion that I could learn from it, it'll say there are two miutim. There's an override from the psukim to say just dafka these things. Okay, let me get to Ruth's question, then everybody else's question. So Ruth, you asked about ashes, how benefiting from ashes. Yeah, ashes you can benefit from. Maybe you can make writing from the ashes. You could use it, I think they say, like as medicine on the skin. There are different things you could benefit from ashes. Okay, who's got other questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
Another extreme, if you could find areas or items that it's apparent that there's no benefit from, would that still be up for judgment?
No. Again, we only get into this issue of Me'ila when you use it and benefit from it. So if you don't use it and benefit, there's no question, but you're using and benefiting. That's why we have a question. Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right. Let's keep moving. All right. You know, by the way, remember yesterday, people raised different questions. So I asked around the base matters today. So some of the questions, Pesach David, are you listening to this? You had several questions. One question was, is Yeharig V'al Yavur apply when the other person's not Jewish? If a person says to Reuven, I'm going to kill you unless you kill Salvatore. So does Reuven have to take it in the gut who is to kill Salvatore? I spoke to Rabbi Chaim Packer. He's a Sholem Meshiv. He's a big Talmid Chacham, and Rabbi Ike Sultan, who also learns in the Beis Medrash. So they both pointed out there's a Rambam, and it's Talui in the language of the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchot Rotzeach, the first halach in the Rambam. So according to one version, the Rambam says that you transgress the law of Lo Tirzach, whoever you kill. So within, if you say that's the correct version of the Rambam, then you'd have to be killed, even though there's a non-Jew at the other end. But there's another version that the Frankel Gemara says is the correct version in the Rambam, which even though it may sound shocking to the ears, like you're not over on Lo Tirzach if you kill a non-Jew. So then it would sound like you would kill a non-Jew. In other words, and not be killed. That's the way it sounds like. So it's Talui with that. And Michael, I thought you had a good Ha'ara, and I showed your Diyuk to somebody from Rashi. Okay, so there's two versions with that. Now, the second question, Pesach David, are you there, by the way, Pesach David?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Now, the second question was, let's say everybody's not Jewish. Let's say a non-Jew is approached and said, I'm going to kill you unless you kill, you know, your non-Jewish friend. So is there a din? Does he have to be Yeharig V'Yavor? So that's Talui also with the Machloket, where there's a din in Kiddushim Shemayim by non-Jews. So that's a Machloket. And so again, it's a Machloket. Now, the third question that people asked was about getting Hana from Basar B'Chalav if it's like non-kosher meat. Let's say Chazer with milk. So there's no din in Basar B'Chalav with Chazer. But there is a din of Basar B'Chalav with kosher meat, even if it's not kosher. So a treif or a nevela is still a din in Basar B'Chalav. So then there would still be an Easter Hana. So if I cook the treif meat with, in other words, I have, you know, the treif beef, you know, it was a treif animal, and I cook it with Chalav, that's still an Easter Basar B'Chalav and an Easter Hana with it. And that's it. You know, it's interesting, by the way, I was listening a little bit to Rabbi Leibowitz today, and he was talking about like this thing about
Belgium.
About Hana Baluya Bal Korcho. So he said he studied this when he was in high school. I assume he went to MTA. He said his Rebbe was Rabbi Hecht at that time. So at that, apparently there was a Stella Doro factory on the Cross Bronx. I don't remember.
In Riverdale.
So
on the Henry Hudson.
Oh, well, he said the Cross Bronx, maybe the Henry Hudson.
You passed what? And you
not the Bronx, on 87.
Major Deegan, right, going Major up to Deegan, Riverdale.
87. Oh, on the Major Deegan. Okay. So yeah.
He's saying,
like, let's say it's Pesach, and then you're going there and you're smelling it, and you intend to benefit from the comments. So that's our sugya here. That's the sugya. You do commit an Easter with that. And let's say you could take a long route around, you know, so you're obligated to do it. That's the way this
comes in Manhattan. Every corner, they're making these
bagels.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you don't intend to benefit from it, it's one. But let's say you do.
The street vendor making his curry chicken.
All right. Let's go further in the Gemara.
Did you hear what happened?
I worry
in Belgium,
about that.
Though?
What?
In Belgium, they upheld that thing that's going to outlaw kosher shchita there. That you have to stun the animal. It's very bad. Because the whole you could go that way.
I mean, it's a totally different topic, but it's been like a topic which has been going on for like 80 years or 90 years. You know, like going back to the 30s, they were like tining ushering.
But it was just upheld today by the highest court in Belgium.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, let's back in the Gemara with three lines from the bottom on Chaf of Manalev. Everybody with me? All right. So we're back to the Machloket between Abai and Rava. So again, this is the second Lashon. So in the second Lashon, it's lo efshar. In other words, like not going a route where I won't smell this fragrance, whatever, is not feasible, not practical. But I have kavana that I want to smell this thing. So do I do an isur or not? Abai says not, and Rava says yes. So tashma, so we try to bring a raya. Now, we're trying to induce a raya now for Rava. All right? So he says, Tashma, Hichnis L'Rivka. Now this is talking about an Egla Rufa. There's a young calf that he wants to use as an Egla Rufa. He says, Hichnis L'Rivka, and he brings it, he wants it to suckle from its mother. So he brings it to a whole bunch of cows or whatever that are Vedasha, And then it ends up threshing some grain. In other words, they're all bound together, and he really wants just to suckle from the mother, but it ends up you know, threshing some of the grain. So kshera, it's still kshera. Again, the din by egla rufa, it can't have done any work. We'll have to clarify. But b'shvil shetinak v'tidosh, but if he hooked it there because he wanted it to suckle and he wants it to thresh, so he says, then it's psula, then it can't be used as an egla rufa anymore. He says, v'ha-hachod lo efshar. He says, here, it's a case lo efshar. In other words, there's no other way that he wants the calf to suckle from the mother. So there's no other way to get it to suckle unless he's hooking it up with the mother. He says, v'kamachavein, and here he has kavana that, you know, he intends that he's going to have the calf thresh the grain as well as suckle. He says v'katani psula, and we see that it's psula. So that we think is a raya for Rava. In other words, that it's wrong. In other words, if it's lo efshar and you have kavana for that which would normally be prohibited, here it's coming out that the calf is psula to be used as an egla rufa. We think that's like roughly equivalent case. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara deflects the proof. Shani hatam dechtiv asher leubad ba mikol makom. That over there by egla rufa, there's a pasuk that says that lo ubad ba, like not only can't work, but it had never been worked. In other words, it's the blanket of the prohibition is being spread much wider. Asher leubad ba, ihachi afil reishanami. If that's the case, or even the first case, where it ended up threshing, should also be pasul. So the Gemara is going to clarify, just give me a few lines, on the top line of Chafav and Beis, halodam yo'elaha. So the analogous case we're going to see in Masechet Para, by the Para Aduma. Now, in this case, again, the Egla Rufa is not allowed to do work, and the Para Aduma is asher lo ala leha ol. It never had a yoke that went on it. But the Gemara and Rashi brings down that both of them are connected. The dinim are going to be roughly equivalent. This is elaha. Let's say a bird rested on the para aduma, so it's still kasher as a para aduma. In other words, the para aduma can't do any work, so it supported this bird, but it's still kasher. Alala zachar psula. But if a male mounted the para aduma, it's psula. That's also considered like a type of work. So he says, my tama, why in one case, the second case is a psula, in the first case not? So amar papa. Iktiv, now again, this is quoting a pasuk by the Egla Rufa, but Rashi brings down that the two are connected with the Gzeira Shava, ol. It says ol by both of them. So the dinim one we learn from the other. It says, Iktiv avad, the Karina avad. If it would be Aleph Beis Dalad, it says Asher Ubadba, but if it would say Aleph Beis Dalad, the Karina avad, and we would read it avad, ad da avid ba ihu. I would say until the master works with the animal, it's still kosher. In other words, the master actually has to work with the animal. Ikativ ubad bikarin ubad. If it would say ubad and written male, alin vav beit dalid, and we would read it ubad, afilim amei lanami. I would say even if it did the work, even the master wasn't involved with it. It just did the work, so it's pasul. Hashtikativ avad bikarin ubad. Now the Torah writes ubad, ayin beis dalid, but we read it ubad. He says, ubad dumi da'abad. So the work that's being done, even if the master is not directly involved, has to be similar to abad. Ma'avad denichale, just like avad, when the master is involved, he's happy with the work that's being done. Af ubad denichale. So ubad, he's happy with it. So in the second set of cases on this amud, so when the bird rests on the cow, the master is not happy with bird being on the cow. But when the male mounts the cow, the master's happy. I guess he kind of feels like they'll get produce from it, things like that. So he's happy with it. So even though he personally didn't, you know, do the mounting, but the animal was mounted, so that's a psul. That's a sher lo ala ol. Because sher lo ubad ba. And then similarly with the egla rufa, where in the second case with egla rufa, where he tied it and he was happy that it was threshing the grain, so that becomes a psul. So he intends that it should nurse, and he's happy that it's threshing the grain. In the first case, he didn't want it to thresh the grain. He wasn't happy with it threshing the grain. And they get a svara in the arts for why he would not be happy with it. What was the arts of the svara? Yeah, he says exertion involved in the work might be harmful to the young calf because Tosos verbatim parrots. So he wasn't happy with it. Anyway, the point being that these dinim of Egla Rufa and Paraduma are, you know, sui generis. They're a topic by themselves. The Torah says Asher Lu'ubadba, that it was never worked. So it's different than a normal dinim, and so it doesn't. We can't use it a raya for rabba. Okay, all right. Whose request comes to the same thing so far?
Why would the owner be happy for the paraduma if the work is done to it? It can't be used as a paraduma anymore. So why would he be happy?
Yeah. So it sounds like you're right. In the gross sense, doesn't sound like a very good financial circumstance. But it sounds like he was happy that the male mounted her. In other words, maybe he doesn't know all the dinim, or maybe he thinks that he'll have more parod adumot. I don't know what the case is going with that, but he was pleased with it being happened. I don't know. All right, now let's see back in the Gemara. All right, so now we're on line 8 again. So the topic is, if it's low efshar, if the other method is not feasible, and he does this other method, the method he does choose, he inhales. Or the incense from Avodah Zarah, and he has kavana to inhale it. So is that mutar or asur? So Bais says mutar and Rabba says asur. So let's see another proof, a tenant proof for Rabba. So Tashma Abeda lo yishtachen lo gabi mita lo gabi magod litzorko. Let's say a person found a metzia. He finds something, a garment. Now, their garments, I don't think look quite like our garments. I imagine like a cloak, like, you know, they wear like all these cloaks over them. So it's almost like a sheet. So he finds this cloak. So if he shouldn't spread the cloak on the bed or on a peg, litzorko, because he needs it. In other words, so that's a misuse of the Aveda. He says, aval shokha litzorka al gabi mita v'al gabi magod. But if he wants to air out the garment, so then that's fine. Then he's free to do that. Nizdamnu lo orachim. Let's say guests walk into the house. He says lo yishtachen lo al gabi mita lo al gabi magod pein l'sorko pein l'sorko. So then, even if he intends that it should be for the benefit to air out the garment, he shouldn't do it, because he's also benefiting from the fact that the guests see that, like, he's got, I don't know, the fancy garment on the bed or whatever, or it's hanging there in the house. So it looks chashuv, so you shouldn't do that. So the point being that so that's a case of lo efshar. In other words, there's no other feasible alternative. In other words, if I want to aerate it, there's no other way to do it other than to aerate it, and the guest is showing up, so it's low efshar. But if I have kavana that I want to benefit from it, it's asur. That's what's coming out. In other words, so there's no other alternative for me, but if my kavana is to benefit from it, it's asur. That price seems to be on all fours with Rava.
So what if he finds a garment and gives it to a poor person? Listen,
I'll pause periodically, okay? Everybody, think of the questions. I'm going to pause in 3 lines. I just don't like interrupting.
I'm counting the lines.
Okay. Just wait till you hear me say any questions, okay? I don't like questions in the middle, okay? So the Gemara says, Shani Hatam de Kali Law. So the Gemara says that case is not because of Rabba's din, or it could be that it's not because of Rabba's din. In other words, technically, you would be allowed to do it to get benefit from it. But there's another factor that's coming into play. Shani Hatam de Kali Law. Kali Law literally means he's burning it. He's burning the garment. But it means, figuratively, he's going to be doing damage to the garment. Imishum Einabisha. There'll be an Ein Hara against the garment, and so it's not going to be good for the garment. Like, people have an ayin hara, you know, they you see that, you know, you're flaunting something that they don't have. And so then, remember I told you from the Michtam Eliyahu says, there's different ways to understand ayin hara, but the way the Michtam Eliyahu says, like, Hashem gives you a certain brachot, and then it's to serve him. And then if you flaunt it and cause pain to other people, you're misusing the bracha that a Kaddish Baruch has given you. So here, he, whatever the circumstances were, he had this garment. Now he's flaunting, oh, look what I have, you know, like that. So then Hashem comes and he takes it away from you. He says, imishum ganavi, or people are going to steal it from him. There's another beautiful garment. They'll come to steal. Like, there's wonderful guests that are coming in. So one of them is going to loot the place. So that's not a raya for Rava necessarily. It could be that the reason he's allowed to do that isn't because of a din of nitkavein lehanot mimena. It's because that you're going to be doing damage to the garment, either, you know, anyway. All right, now, now it's time for questions. What do you got for me, Robert?
Okay. He finds the garment. It doesn't belong to him.
Right.
The advice gets in, and one of them's a poor person. So right. He gives him the garment. What's the status of that?
That's thievery.
Even though he's giving it to a poor person.
Yeah, and there was let's say you lose a diamond ring
that's
in the street.
The Robin Hood.
Let's say you lose a diamond ring in the street. I find it and I give it to a poor schnook who comes into the shul. So how does that sound to you?
Well, I guess the issue is a diamond ring is different than a cloak. In other words,
no. Anyway,
if I find a cloak, I know it doesn't belong to me.
Right. The idea is like this: that if you find an object and it has a siman on it, a sign. So if it has somebody's name or a siman, and the machlok in the Gemara, makom could be a siman, I have a chiyuv to do hachraza, to announce it and to try to find the true owner. But it's not mine. If there's no siman on it, then we assume the Baalim made yeish, and then it's mine to do with as I choose, okay? All right, I got to move on. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let's see further. All right, now... All right, now the last proof. So we're done with those proofs. So in general, with Abai v'Rava, we usually pass them like Rava. Now the Gemara goes back to the first version of the Machloket between Abai v'Rava. In the first version, let me go back. In the first version was, one second. Yeah, Efshar v'lo machaven. So in the first version, the machloket was where there is an alternative just as easily I could do, you know, path B and path A, but I don't have kavanah to benefit from it. So in the first version, the Rava holds even though I didn't have intention to benefit from it, but the other alternative is just as easy to do. So I'm doing an Isur. Okay, so Tashma, we're trying to bring a proof for Rava's position in the first version. Okay, now this is going to refute Rava in the first position. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tashma, Mokrek Sut, the people who sell garments, but they're selling Shatnez garments, Mokrin Kedarkan, they could sell in a normal fashion. In other words, they have the garments on top of them. They're on my shoulder, on my back, things like that, but they contain Shatnez. He says, Uvavaj, so Kavin Becham Neachama, provided in the heat, in the summer, they shouldn't have kavanah to be protected from the sun, or to be protected from the rain, but they could carry the garments in the normal fashion. Obviously, they wouldn't sell it to a Jew. So he says here, Bahatsnuim, Snuim means like the discreet ones, the frum ones, Mafshilin la'achorein b'makel. They take the garments with a pole, like so it's extended out, so the garment is not on top of them at all. Vahacha de'efshar the membar kitznuin. So here's Efshar. It's easy to do like the way the Snuim do it. He says, V'chilo mechavein shari. And nevertheless, the Mishnah says, if you don't have kavana to benefit from it, it's permissible. So that's not like what Rabbi said in the first Lashon. So the Gemara says, T'yufta l'man d'matni lishna kama d'rabba t'yufta. So that slugs up the first Lashon because we don't think it's viable that Rabbi would have said that when this Mishnah is mukrach not that way. All right, that's the end of this piece. That's the end of this piece. All right, now I'm going to move on to the last piece. All right. We said that after the Zman, when you can't get hana from chametz anymore, I shouldn't heat up my oven with the chametz, right? Remember? And we said that, I think we said that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that any biur chametz el esreifa, I still shouldn't benefit from it by heating up the oven with it, right? In other words, so even though I intend to destroy the chametz by burning it up, I shouldn't burn it in a way that gives me benefit from it. Okay, so the Gemara.
Which
said,
hour are we talking about now?
So it's when you can't get enough from it. So it could be 11 o'clock.
Hours of,
okay, right. So that would be the beginning of the sixth hour. Okay, so he says. So Tan Rabbanan, Tadnur She Siko Bekli. Now we're going to talk about, we were talking about Chametz. Now we're going to shift over to other Isuri Hana'a, subject to connection with our topic, okay? So Tan Rabbanan, Tanur She Siko Bekli Pe Orla Obekashin Shel Kilei Akerem. Let's say I have an oven that I heated up with the peels of Orla. So Orla is Isuri Hana'a. I'm not allowed to get benefit from it. He says, "Obekashin shel kilei akerem," or the straw kilei akerem, I could the stalks of it could be grain or whatever that I planted in the vineyard. So with kilei akerem is not just the pre. Kilei akerem is the entire plant is prohibited in hana'a. Anyway, the point is, if I heated up the oven with isuri hana'a, he says, "Chadash yutatz." If it's a new oven, the oven has to be destroyed because when I'm the new oven, it's causing the new oven to be hardened. In other words, when they had clay ovens, and then you heat it up the first time, and then the walls get hardened as a result of being heated up. So if I heated it up with Isuri Hana'a, so my only alternative is to destroy the oven, because I don't want to get benefit from the Isuri Hana'a. Yashan Yutsan. If it's an old oven, I have to let it cool down. Then I'm not going to benefit from it anymore. It came down. Afabo at a pot. Let's say whether it was a new oven or an old oven, I baked a loaf of bread together with the Isuri Hana'a. So Rebbe Omer Hapatasura, Rebbe says the loaf of bread is prohibited because he says, V'chachamim Omrim Hapat Muteret, the bread is permissible. Bishla Gabi Gechalim, if he cooked it on top of coals and the coals had come from Isuri Hana'a, Divrei Kol Mutar, everybody holds permissible. Because once it's been converted into a coal, it's like doesn't exist anymore. In other words, it's like so destroyed, it's not considered that the same object exists anymore. Okay, that's the braisa. So he says vahatanya, but in a different braisa we learn bein chadash uvein yashan yutzan, that whether it's a new oven or an old oven, I let it cool down. So let's go back again. So in the first braisa we learned that if it's a new oven, I have to destroy it. If it's an old oven, I let it cool down. In the second braisa, I learned that whether it was a new oven or an old oven, I let it cool down. So there's machloka between the two braisas. One braisa says I have to destroy the oven. One braisa says I let it cool down. So the Gemara says, lo kasha. There's no contradiction between the two braisas. Ha Rebbe b'ha Rabbanan. One braisa is going like Rebbe, the other is going like the Chachamim. If you remember, in the first braisa, we mentioned a machloka in Rebbe the Chachamim. Rebbe said, hapat asura, that the loaf of bread that I cook with the Isuri Hana'a is prohibited. So we think that the first braisa that says that the oven has to be destroyed, that's going within Rebbe's opinion. That's going like Rebbe, because I just like I cook the loaf of bread with the Isuri Hana'a, I can't eat the bread loaf of bread. I heated up the new oven with the Isuri Hana'a, so I can't do that. I can't benefit from that as well. I have to destroy it. And the second braisa that says I let it cool down, we think it's like the Chachamim, who say that I'll just let the pot is muteret. So the Gemara says not so fast. Aimer d'shamet le the Rebbe mishum di shevach etzim b'pot. So the only thing you know for sure is Rebbe holds if I cook a loaf of bread with Yisuri Hana'a, the bread is prohibited. That's true, because he holds shevach etzim b'pot, that the improvement from the wood is in the bread. So that's definitely the kiss. That's the kiss of death. So he says here, he says, but zeb zegorim yishamet lay. When you're talking about like an oven that I have to destroy the oven, so let's say I cook something in the oven afterwards with heter. So that's a case of zeb zegorim. In other words, let's say I had the new oven and I heated up the new oven with Isuri Hana'a. In other words, clearly, the first braisa holds the oven has to be destroyed. But the question is Rebbe the one who says that it has to be destroyed? The only thing you know that Rebbe says is if I cook the loaf of bread, I can't eat the loaf of bread. Is that the same as destroying the oven? So it's not the same. Because with loaf of bread, the whole benefit from the eitzim is in the bread. With the new oven, let's say the new oven, I heat up the new oven, the Isuri Hana'a. Now I put heter wood in and I cook something with it. So now in stage two, it's the object that I'm cooking is Zev is a Gorim. In other words, I have an oven and the oven got benefited from the Isuri Hana'a. But the fuel now is heter fuel. So the Tana that says Yutatz, that it has to be destroyed, obviously holds Zev is a Gorim. Zev is a Gorim is when I have two elements that are causing the final product, A and B. A is Isur, B is heter. So here I have wood, which is heter, and I have the oven, which is Isur, and now I'm cooking with it. So the one who says that I have to destroy the oven has got to hold Zeb Zegorim Asur. We don't know that Rebbe holds that. The only thing we know Rebbe said is if I cook the bread with it, that's clearly from the Easter. So the point is that that doesn't necessarily hold water. Okay, let's say, so the Gemara withdraws from that. Let's go, we're 8 lines to the bottom. El lo kasha ha Reb Lezer ha Rabbanan. The Gemara says no. Right, the one Bryce is according to one Tana, and the other Bryce is like a different Tana, and one Tana holds Zeb Zegorim Zasar, and the other holds the Zeb Zegorim Mutar, but those Tanaim are going to be Reb Lezer and the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Ha Reb Lezer, Ha Rabbanan. Hey Reb Lezer, which Shita of Reb Lezer did you think that holds Zeb Zegorim Zasar? So he says, Elam Reb Lezer de Seor. Maybe it's Reb Lezer concerning Seor. So now the Gemara quotes a Mishnah from a Sechet Orla. It says, Seor shel Chulin, Vishal Truma. If Seor is like the very yeasty dough. In other words, like now we have yeast. In other words, I don't know if anybody does their own cooking anymore, but if a housewife wants to go cooking, so she goes to the store, she buys yeast or whatever. So Bizman Chazal, you'd have like a piece of dough that was saturated with yeast. So I have Seor. And if I want things to rise, I take the very yeasty dough. So now Seor shel Chulin, Vishal Truma. So I have Seor that's Chulin, and then I have Seor of Truma. He says, Shenaflu toch isa, they both fell into a dough. They both fell into a dough. Ve'im bezekedi lahachmitz, ve'im bezelot lahachmitz. Neither one by itself would be enough to cause the dough to rise. So again, the idea is, even though it says truma and chulin, it means Easter of a heter. In other words, the truma is going to be the Easter, because if it's truma, so it's only eaten by kohanim. So that's the Easter. So in other words, I have sor of heter, sor of Easter. And they both fall into a piece of dough. Bin it's tarfu b'chimtzu. So together, they got together and they caused the dough to rise. So what's the status of that dough? Does the dough now get the din of truma or not? So, and obviously we would not want it to be a din of truma. We want it to be a din of chulin. In other words, I have a big batter of dough and a little bit of sor and a little bit of sor fell in it. Since I need a little bit of yeast. So he says here, Reb Lezer Omer, achar achron anibah. Rabbi Elazar says the key is what was the last element. In other words, neither one by itself is enough. It's only A plus B. So Rabbi Elazar says whichever is the last one to fall in, that's the status. So if the last one to fall in is truma, it's truma. Last one to fall in is chulin, it's chulin. In other words, the one that gets it over the hump, that's the status it's going to be. He says, v'chachamim omrim, bein shenafal isur, it should be batchila, whether the Easter fell in first, bein shenafal isur lebasof, whether the Easter fell in at the end, la'olam einu oser, it doesn't oser it, ad, let's turn the top page on Chavzayin Aleph, ad shehebo kidei lahachmitz, unless on its own it has enough to cause it to leaven. Otherwise it's like inert, it's like zero. It says, v'amar abaye, and we're focusing on Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer said it's the achar achron is going to do it. Amar abaye, lo shanu el shekdam asile keda isur, that when we say if the last one is going to be koveis, if the last one is chulin, it means, but then I grab the isur away from the dough. He says, "Abalosi kadamasile kada isur asur." If I didn't take the isur, then Reb Lezer holds even when the chulin came in last, it's asur. So it means like this: the Tana Reb Lezer holds that if I have two elements, zeb and zeh goreim, it's asur. That's basically what it boils down to. So even though it takes both, like it takes two to tango, so it takes both elements to cause it to be machmitz, to like rise up, Reb Lezer holds, it still becomes asur. The only time he has heter is as if you came in and you grabbed away the sor right away, then the chulin fell in, then you're okay. But otherwise you're sunk. He says, Alma zeb zeh goreim asur. So we think that this Tana Reb Lezer who holds Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur, he's the same Tana that's going to hold that the oven has to be destroyed, because every time I use that oven, it'll be Zev Zeh Goreim. All right, I think that's going to be it for tonight, and I got to go to shul. Let me. Any questions on anything we did? All right, now let me just end recording and we'll say a few things. All right, any